Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and welcome to today's edition of Real Science Friday with Bob Enyart and Fred Williams. Fred, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be back.
So good to talk to you. Now, there is a journal written by creation scientists called CRSQ, Creation Research Society Quarterly, and you happen to be the webmaster for the Creation Research Society.
That's right. They've been around since 1963, the oldest organization in the United States for creation scientists. We have 700 advanced degree scientists.
Advanced degrees, so these are PhDs.
PhDs, master's degrees in various fields of science. Mm-hmm. And this journal, they've been publishing articles in this journal since 1963. They found it as a venue to publish articles because the secular world discourages creation articles in magazines such as Science and National
Geographic. Right. So every 3 months they put out a new issue. We've got the September issue here, 2006, and boy, is it exciting. So we're going to talk through this journal so that people in the audience could hear what creation science is researching and publishing. And we have five different issues, different articles we want to talk about, but one is they're finding C14, carbon-14 in everything that's supposedly millions of years old, and there shouldn't be any.
Yeah, that's a serious problem for evolutionists because carbon-14 decays into nitrogen. It has a half-life of 5,700 years. So what does that mean? After about 50,000 years, you should not find carbon-14 in anything.
Yeah.
Yet they always find it in things that they claim are millions of years old. It's a serious problem for them.
Like dinosaurs and coal and diamonds and so on. So we'll talk about that, and also proteins, how proteins fold from these chains of amino acids. And it's so wildly complicated, and we're beginning to understand the process. We'll describe that to the audience. It will blow people's minds.
Oh, it's amazing. Highly complex. But don't be too concerned. It's not, we won't get too technical here. It just points to the amazing intelligent design.
Yeah, that God used when he created biological life. And we'll talk about the problem evolutionists have with genes. This is called substitution, where supposedly human beings came from apes, 6 million years ago or so. We split off, and there have been millions of mutations changing us from ape-like creatures to humans. The problem is it takes a really long time for one mutation to get through an entire species.
That's right. It's called the cost of substitution, and we'll talk about that and, again, try to keep that at a layman's perspective. We don't want our listeners driving off the road.
That's right. That's right. Well, we'll show how absolutely impossible it is to get millions of changes in the genome, in the DNA, from apes to humans in such a short period of time as 6 million years, even if everything went perfect.
That's right. And what it does is it exposes the myth behind, whenever you hear the argument that DNA, that chimps and humans share 97% of their DNA, on the surface, that sounds like evidence. It sounds somewhat compelling.
Right.
This pretty much exposes the illusion behind that. It's things that our kids are not being told about in schools. Mm-hmm. And that's why, the creation movement is so important, and why we publish articles like this to expose illusions like that and help people understand what's really going on.
And then we will talk about intelligent design and how powerful the argument is becoming against Darwinian evolution. And the intelligent design argument is so powerful, and it's beginning to convince increasing numbers of educated people that evolution has become popular not because of the evidence, but because of the intimidation factor of godless worldview people who are intimidating others into accepting evolution.
Essentially, evolution is a tax-funded religion.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And we're going to talk a lot about the evidence now. And by the way, tonight, if you live in the Denver area, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship is having their monthly meeting. It's going to be a great meeting.
Yeah, it is. Gary Parker is going to be the guest speaker, Dr. Gary Parker. He has a PhD in biology. He was an evolutionist and over time became convinced by the arguments for creation. He's one of the foremost creation speakers in the world. He's titled, co-authored a book with Henry Morris. Many of you who are familiar with the creation movement know who Henry Morris is. He's probably the father of modern creation. And anyways, he's a real top-notch creation speaker. He's doing a topic, on plants.
Tonight, yeah. It's about plants and water movement through plants and how water gets to the top of these giant redwoods and all. And it will be absolutely fascinating. It's at Holly Hills Bible Church in Denver, Colorado, at 7 o'clock tonight. And where is that? What cross streets is that near?
About Holly and Evans.
Holly and Evans.
Yeah, take Holly south of Evans, and it'll be on the east side.
Okay. So that's Holly Hills Bible Church tonight, Dr. Gary Parker at 7 o'clock.
And he's a very good speaker. He keeps things real entertaining, and yeah. I highly recommend
it'll
it if you have the opportunity.
It'll be just great. You got to get to it. Okay, now, we have been talking on Bob and Eric Live the past few months about the soft tissue T-Rex they found in Montana at MSU, Montana State University. They got it at their museum there, and they're finding what looks like blood vessels and remnants of cells and hemoglobin, and it's supposed to be 70 million years old, and it's soft tissue.
Yeah, there's no way that could be millions of years old. And what I encourage the listener to do is go to the web and type in T-Rex blood vessels and MSNBC or whatever you want. I told a coworker about this at where I work, and he didn't believe it. So I said, okay, go on the web and do a search on T-Rex blood cells, and yeah. You'll see the articles. And there's one by MSNBC that shows you
Reuters photographs.
Exactly, a photograph of this. And he was blown away. He's like, I can't believe this. Yeah. I've never been told this. I've never seen this. This is powerful.
Right. Exactly. And you could find all this also at our website, kgov.com. Well, there is an article in this current issue of the CRSQ, Creation Research Society Quarterly, that they are doing carbon-14 dating of all kinds of things that are supposed to be millions of years old.
And again, you should not find carbon-14 in anything older than hypothetically 50,000 years. You shouldn't find any carbon-14.
Yeah, if something is 100,000 years old, a million, 10 million, a billion, there should be no carbon-14 because it decays too rapidly.
That's right. It decays into nitrogen. It should be gone.
So what they're finding out, and these are, sadly, the evolutionary scientists, they refuse to carbon-14 date anything that they think is millions of years old. They just won't do it. So the creation scientists are taking it upon themselves to do these tests, and they could get somewhat expensive, and they're carbon-14 dating dinosaur bones and coal and gas that's supposedly millions of years old and fossilized or partially fossilized wood and so on. And it turns out that they're finding carbon-14 everywhere.
And it's very difficult, if not almost impossible, to find samples without it. That's what baffles the scientists, because they can't blame it on contamination, as they have tried in the past, because they can't find a sample without it in there.
Everywhere. And they would say, let's say you carbon-14 date a dinosaur. Like this article gives a summary of some of the carbon-14 dating done so far, and it extends it. For example, now they carbon-14 dated amber. And amber, what is amber? That's sap from a tree.
Sap from a tree, and that becomes fossilized. They find some fossilized amber, which is remarkable in itself.
Yeah, and sometimes it'll have an insect in it or something, like Jurassic Park, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, you get a mosquito who bit a dinosaur, and then you get dinosaur DNA, which hopefully Montana will be able to get out of this soft tissue T-Rex. Well,
but,
anyway,
of course, DNA can't survive millions of years, so they don't expect to find it.
Complex biological molecules break down. It's called entropy. The stuff's not going to survive for millions of years, and yet we're finding proteins and bacteria and living bacteria in strata that was supposedly a billion years old.
That's right. Living fossils. Billion-year-old bacteria still alive.
Yeah, that is amazing. Okay, so anyway, they have now carbon-14 dated amber. Amber, fossilized sap from a tree. There should be no carbon-14 at all. And what's amazing is this is the first known instance of actually dating amber. You would think that scientists would have been doing this for decades.
Yeah, but they refuse to because they believe the paradigm that the amber's got to be millions of years old, so it can't contain any carbon-14. Well, amber is real resistant to carbon-14 contamination. It'd be a perfect thing to check for carbon-14. But of course they won't, because I think they're afraid of the results.
Right. So what we're finding in the summary in this article, the introduction, is now they've been carbon 14 dating coal, which is supposedly millions of years old, and they find that it has an upper limit of 40,000 years old at the most, because carbon 14 decays. And so we point out that, hey, not everything is understood about radioactive decay, but we do know that carbon 14 decays rapidly. And they've dated five different dinosaurs from the western United States, and they range in age from 10,000 years upper limit to 36,000 years.
That's right.
This is extraordinary. And creation scientists, we look at these dates and we say these are maximum dates. Now, the atheist evolutionist scientists, they're stuck, because there's no way there should be any carbon-14 if these things are millions of years old.
That's right.
But why would we find some that seem to indicate we are young Earth creationists? We believe the Earth is less than 10,000 years old. So why would there be tests that say this coal has a maximum age of, it's perhaps 40,000 years?
Okay, so the age really isn't 40,000 years. As you mentioned, it's a maximum age. But there's different mechanisms that can cause more or less carbon-14 to be found. And we know, for example, the carbon-14 to carbon-12 ratio in the atmosphere is not in equilibrium. And if there was some kind of global disaster in the past that buried a lot of carbon, it could affect that ratio. And so you'll get dates that are older than are being reflected by these carbon-14 dating methods. However, again, evolutionists, from an evolutionist point of view, you shouldn't find any carbon-14.
None, like in a diamond.
Yeah,
you shouldn't find any. Diamonds are supposedly millions of years old.
Yeah, we're not surprised that the carbon-14 dates aren't under 6,000 years because of these other factors with the equilibrium in the atmosphere and other factors that can attribute to extra carbon-14 that, that we don't expect to find. So,
but a diamond, which, you know, you could watch advertisements on TV during the Super Bowl telling a guy, you better buy your wife a diamond or your girlfriend. It took millions of years to form, and she's expecting a diamond from you. Well, millions of years, we find carbon-14. This one test in 2003, Baumgartner, who's one of the nation's leading scientists, John Baumgartner, less than 58,000 years old, this diamond, based on carbon-14. It should have no carbon-14 at all, and they're finding carbon-14 even in diamonds.
And again, diamonds are just like amber, where you can't blame it on contamination. You can't get carbon-14 into diamonds by accident. So that's, again, powerful evidence against an old Earth.
In Texas, they dated a burnt branch, a branch that was like cinders, and it was embedded in a Cretaceous rock strata that's supposedly over 100 million years old. And they carbon-14 dated this branch, and they get a date of 12,800 years, which is 10,000 times younger than the evolutionary date. And there should be zero carbon-14, not enough to give it an age that young.
And unfortunately, this is the type of stuff that our kids in the schools are not hearing about. Again, evolution is a tax-funded religion in our schools. We need to get this information out so people know that there's evidence when they hear things that are millions of years old. Just last night on Hannity and Combs, they had this guy on talking about that killer whale that pulled that guy, you know, at SeaWorld, pulled him into the water. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned how he had hundreds of millions of years to develop that personality.
Yeah.
And nobody said anything. It's like, wait a minute, that's, you know, were you there?
Right.
Hundreds of millions of years. That we
and they
that
haven't
so
even
much.
Changed in the fossil record. They still look the same.
Yeah, they still look the same. But yeah,
just like jellyfish.
Yeah.
Right. And on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay. And all the living fossils that we now find alive, like the coelacanth, and just extinct for millions of years, and there it is in the fish market.
And they use that to date other rocks. They use that as an index fossil.
Right.
So if you found a rock with a coelacanth in it, okay, that rock's 80 million years old. Well, they can't say that anymore because, they found one alive.
Right. So do they go back and say all those dates are no longer valid? They seem to not do that.
They just kind of ignore it.
Which, obviously, they should do that. Okay, and there's another related article in here that we can mention at the same time. They did the same test with methane gas. And this reminds me of an issue about a year ago. Scientists dated carbon dioxide gas from different wells throughout the United States, from strata coming up from thousands of feet below the surface, where it supposedly formed millions of years ago, and the stuff has carbon-14 in it, and it's young.
Exactly.
And now they did it again, this time with methane gas, so they are extending this research. This is hard science doing a scientific test, carbon-14, and they're saying, hey, look, this methane gas, it's not millions of years old, like we're told. In fact, it's testing to be less than 50,000 years old.
And if you find carbon-14 from gas that's come up from thousands of feet beneath the Earth's surface, what does that tell you? What is that evidence for? What does carbon come from?
Life. Well,
okay. So what would cause carbon to be buried all over the Earth?
And carbon often comes from life. And, well, we know that there are billions of dead things buried in rock strata laid down by water all over the Earth.
Yeah, I think I've heard that before. Yeah. Fossil record.
It's
powerful evidence for some kind of disaster that involved a lot of water.
Answers in Genesis. Yeah, in fact, scientists, wherever you go to the Sahara Desert, scientists say, you know, there was a lot of water in the formation of this part of the surface of the Earth here. You go to all over the world, you go and you look at the surface features of the Earth, and they say, well, this was laid down by water all over the world. Look at the Grand Canyon.
Exactly.
All right, so they have a goal. These creation scientists have a goal of systematically testing with carbon-14 testing specimens from around the world and throughout the entire supposed geologic column to bring the weight of evidence against the evolutionists to say we are finding carbon-14 everywhere. We can no longer call it an anomaly. It is the expected result.
And just know that the carbon-14 problem is just one of many problems for an old Earth. We're just talking of we estimate that nine out of every 10 clocks that we can look at point to a young Earth, or at least contradict an old Earth. Just another example is the one, I think we may have talked about it last 3 months ago, the helium that they find in zircons.
Oh, yeah, the zircon crystals.
Yeah, and they actually did a real scientific experiment where they predicted how fast the helium should be leaking out of the zircons, and they plotted a graph of 6,000 years, and they plotted a graph of 1.5 billion years, what the evolutionists say, and guess what the results proved.
Let me repeat that to people in the audience who we have no idea what we're talking about.
Okay.
All right, crystals have helium in them when they're formed, and that helium will leak out of the crystal slowly over time. These helium atoms will migrate out of the crystal.
Yeah, it's a noble gas, so it's real slippery. It should get out of the crystal.
It should leave the crystal. So when you find crystals that the evolutionists say these formed 1.5 billion years ago, so the creationists said, okay, we'll use your estimates of how quickly helium leaches out of crystals. We'll use those estimates and we'll say, okay, here's what we'll plot. If this crystal is 1.5 billion years old, here's how much helium we should find. And if it's 6,000 years, here's what we should find. It ends up being a nice curved graph and all. And so they published the predictions in advance. Then they sent the crystals to this high-precision lab in Canada.
And they did it through a mining company so that they wouldn't know that it was creationists submitting this data, because they probably wouldn't have done the experiment.
Right.
So this is completely independent verification.
Right. And we are finding that when creationists want the scientific tests done, they don't want to do them. We've offered, Fred, you know about this. We haven't talked about this on the air. But we offered the curator of a major museum $23,000. We have some wealthy friends. To carbon-14 date a little tiny specimen of a dinosaur. And they are utterly refusing. They will not do it. That would give them $20,000 toward the museum and $3,000 for the cost of preparing the test and all.
It shows how much they'll defend their faith in this, a religion of evolution.
Yeah, so the scientist said, if this crystal is 6,000 years, here is going to be the graph of what we find in helium retention in these crystals. And if it's 1.5 billion years, here will be the graph. And so this high-precision lab returns the results, and it was like you could overlay it perfectly, that this crystal is 6,000 years or so, not 1.5 billion years.
That's right. And the lead scientist on that was Dr. Russell Humphreys. He's a highly respected scientist at Sandia Labs. He was the lead investigator on the experiment. He said, if this is evolutionists are going to have to explain how, by sheer coincidence, all these data points lined up perfectly on this graph supporting a 6,000-year-old.
Yeah, and that's predictive. Date. That's prediction.
That's how science is supposed to work.
Right, where the atheists will say, well, they made predictions about the Big Bang and they turned out to be true. And that turns out to be not true, because the predictions, according to atheistic scientific journals, the predictions were tweaked after the fact to say, hey, we made these predictions of the abundance of elements or the CMB, the background radiation temperature of the universe. They were not made in advance. They were tweaked after the fact. And then they say, we made these predictions. In this case, the creation scientists not only made the predictions, they published the predictions.
That's right.
That was pretty neat.
And we've done the same thing with the Voyager on the magnetic field strength of some of the moons of Jupiter. And we published those in a journal and predicted the field strength based on a young Earth, a young universe, mm-hmm. and contrasted to the secular worldview belief on that, it was supposed to be different, and I don't know really what it was. But when the results came back from the Voyager, it matched our predictions within 1% of the field strength, and the evolutionists had no explanation for that. Their model doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It predicted an old Earth, and it was wrong.
Yeah, one of my favorite creationists, Dr. Walt Brown, has written a book, In the Beginning, and that book is filled with predictions he has made, published, and a number of them were years ago, and now further research has been done, and his predictions have been verified that they were accurate, and he has many predictions that are still awaiting verification or falsification. For example, what do you find in the trenches and the faults in the Pacific? Once they get down there to explore those. That's just one example. So predictions are the stuff of testing science. They're pretty cool. Yeah, they're really pretty cool. So, okay.
You know, one thing I wanted to bring up real quick about the dinosaur T-Rex bone,
yeah.
and the blood vessels they found, is Discover Magazine, which is definitely no friend of creationists, published an article titled Schweitzer's Dangerous Discovery. Now, Schweitzer's the scientist who found this T-Rex bone.
Dr. Mary Schweitzer.
And in the title of the article, it says, she erased a line between past and present. What an amazing admission.
Whoa.
Because of this find. It really is powerful evidence that dinosaurs are not millions of years old, and they are contemporary with man.
You know, and that article is just excellent in Discover Magazine.
It was April 2006, if you want to look it up on the Internet.
Yeah, and that has to do with that soft tissue T-Rex in Montana. And it's startling. In fact, the curator up there, Jack Horner, he's the guy who they modeled Jurassic Park after. In fact, he was an advisor on the set of all three movies. And Mary Schweitzer is saying, well, when we're excavating these bones in Montana, these dinosaur bones, they smell just like the cadavers in my lab. And what did you remember what Horner said?
He said, oh, yeah, all Hell Creek bones smell. That's where they found them, in Hell Creek.
Hell Creek, Montana.
And all the bones smell.
He said, oh, yeah, all those dinosaur bones smell like cadavers. No kidding. If they're fossilized, they're lithified, they turn to stone, and they're millions of years old, they don't smell like rotting bodies.
Exactly.
You got graveyards of dinosaurs that are still corpses, that are rotting.
Schweitzer said that to old-line paleontologists, the smell of death didn't even register. This is quoting out of the Discover magazine. Mm. She said it meant that traces of life might still cling to these bones. I mean, that's how science, you observe something, you smell something, and you're going to ignore it because you think it's millions of years old.
Right. And when I say their corpse is still rotting, I don't mean to imply that there are tons of meat tissue that's rotting, but there are bones that have soft tissue in the bones. And they're finding this, and it's a nightmare for the evolutionists. You would think it'd be the number one discovery of the last decade.
Oh,
and
easily.
Most people don't even know about it.
Exactly.
I've told hundreds of people about soft tissue T-Rex find at MSU in Montana. Nobody knows about it. I know it's been published.
And again, people are shocked when they see these pictures on the Internet when I showed friends of mine who've bought into the paradigm of millions of years. They're really
in
taken
fact,
back by it.
You could go to Google and Google Enyart and T-Rex or soft tissue, and you'll find all this on our website at kgov.com. Now, The reason I mentioned Walt Brown was because I want to let people know, if anybody wants a subscription of this journal, Creation Research Society Quarterly, well, we figured out they're, you know, they're not free. They're a little bit expensive. We figured out a way to give these away. If you are so inclined to purchase a science pack from Bob and Eric Live, then we will pay for and give you a subscription to Creation Research Society Quarterly's journal. You get an annual subscription. Now, our science pack, it's $99.99, so it's $100. It's got fabulous DVDs, Walt Brown's book In the Beginning, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. It has the Age of the Earth debate that I had against old Earth scientists in Denver. Fred, you were at that debate.
Oh, that was awesome.
We had a great time, right? That was a lot of fun. And our Bible study album, Genesis Creation. So you get all that, five different items for $99.99, and then we will pay for you to have a gift subscription to CRSQ. Now, to order that science pack, the BEL science pack, you could either call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or you could go online to KGOV.com, click on the store, go to specials, and there it is, the science pack. Now, Christmas is coming. A lot of us give gifts. And here, you can order one science pack and have five gifts. And these are neat gifts.
Oh, definitely well worth the money. You'll also get a bi-monthly newsletter from Creation Research Society also that has up-to-date news information and articles that are written more for the layman.
Yeah.
But again, this journal, don't be intimidated by some of the technical articles. A lot of them are written very well where even the layman guy like me can read it and understand
it. Yeah, and you start to understand it more and more. So here's what I'd like to do. Fred, for our Real Science Friday, we didn't have time to get through the five articles. We just hit two. So I'd like us to finish this next Friday.
So that sounds great.
Real Science Friday will continue next Friday.
That's perfect.
All right. And then we have to wait till the next edition. It comes out quarterly, this journal. And then we'll have you back.
That's perfect.
If you're okay with that.
I'm okay with that. Even my friends tell me I've got the perfect face for radio.
All right. And I would like to let our listeners know, especially those in Colorado, that the Olive Branch Bookstore at Ward Road and 64th carries Bob and Eric Live material. So you can check out the Christian store, Olive Branch Bookstore. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Wow, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Your kids go there, right, Fred?
They do. It's a great school.
Amen. Maranatha. Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyar. I wrote the Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at KGOV.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.